The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Israel Gutierrez, and I'm honestly so excited to be hosting this show with someone I respect so much.
I am Mina Kimes, and I'm sorry, what's your name again? Izzy? Israel?
I mean,
have we met?
You don't know who I am. Tony and Mike definitely don't know who I am.
Me neither. They definitely don't know who I am either.
Welcome to PTI. Mike Wilbon is getting inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. So I'm lucky to be joined by my wonderful colleague from NFL Live and about 13 other ESPN properties, Mina Kimes.
Yeah.
It's actually just 12 properties, not 13, but thank you.
Okay. All right, we overstated. Overrated then. But just to prove who the producers actually like more, we're starting with my hometown, Miami Heat. The finalists from last year are striding toward the postseason, beating the top-seeded Sixers last night to make it 7 wins in their last 8. Sitting in the 5 spot, Jimmy Butler and the Heat are looking familiar. Mina, familiar enough to reassess the East?
A little bit. I mean, look, I don't think Miami should be considered the favorites to come out of the East, Izzy, but I do think Philadelphia, who many people do believe are the favorites, they should be worried based on what they saw. Now, the Sixers are still probably going to get the number one seed, but with this loss, they open the door for Miami to creep into 4 or 5, which, as you know, means they might have to play them in the second round. And based on what we saw last night, I don't think the Sixers match up very well with the Heat. In particular, the presence of Bam, who didn't play in the 2 games before this, where Miami lost, made a huge difference against Joel Embiid, who, yes, he was sick, but he had his worst performance on half-court possessions of the entire season. And when Bam guarded him, he scored 2 points. Just 2 points. So if I was a Sixers fan, I'd be sweating.
I'm ready to reassess a little bit here, Mina, and here's why. Like, I look at the Sixers and I say, okay, Miami did its job by, even though I don't think Bam Adebayo is a great matchup for Joel Embiid, I think he's obviously smaller and Joel Embiid could have his way with him at times. The Heat defense as a team can make life miserable for Embiid.
Yes.
And they did that yesterday. And my question with them is, who exactly is going to sort of take over when that happens in the playoffs? Because it's going to happen for every team, right? So is it going to be Tobias Harris? Is it going to be Ben Simmons? Nobody really did that yesterday. But you talk about the Miami Heat. This is the team you were expecting, Mina. Apparently all Tyler Hero needed to be able to learn to shoot again was a terrible haircut. You've got health going around the entire roster. You've got Dwayne Dedman giving them size. Goran Dragic looks like an all-star again. They basically have exactly what they're looking for, that balance, that defense, and they're going into the postseason playing at just the right time, playing this way. So I'd be entirely scared regardless of what Eastern Conference team is up there.
Yeah, we should note that that was the 22nd time they've held a team below 100 points, which is the second most of any team. So it's not just the Sixers who have had trouble with Miami's defense. Speaking of Miami's defense, or a guy who really hasn't played much defense for Miami, Udonis Haslem gave the Heat another win by getting thrown out. The veteran forward got a standing O when he entered the game for the first time all season, then played just 3 minutes before getting ejected for shoving Dwight Howard. Izzy, you live in Miami, you know this team, the player, the culture. How would you rate Udonis Haslem's season?
I mean, it's a 10 just based on that performance. I mean, as soon as he got up off the bench and headed toward the scorer's table, I got on my basketball group chat and I just said, UD exclamation point. And then after he did the thing where he, you know, shoved Dwight Howard in the face, I went further with a U exclamation point and then a D exclamation point in 2 separate texts, because that's exactly what this Miami Heat team is about. It was just 1 game. It was the last home game. It was his only performance of the season, his only showing of the season, and it drove that team. It really made them, you know, sort of lifted their spirits some. They obviously were winning before he got in there, but he, and that's sort of a glimpse of what he does for this team in practices, in off days, and Bam Adebayo just loves that. You could hear it in the conversation afterward, in the interview afterward, and it's just something that, it's the reason why as long as he wants a spot on that roster, he's going to have a spot on that roster.
I agree with you, though. I don't have a spot in your group chat, which I am now learning, and my feelings are a bit hurt. But, you know, watching him and watching in particular the reaction of his teammates, I was thinking about how a few days ago when news broke that the Jags were signing Tim Tebow, yes, we're contractually obligated to mention Tim Tebow on every show every day, people mentioned Haslam as being sort of a cop, like he's a mascot for the Heat. But what you saw is, no, he's not a mascot. He's a representative. He means something to these players, to this team, to the city. And the reaction of not just those players, but also the coaches, Izzy, reminded us of exactly what he means, which is they want to kick some butt at all times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also a Gator, and I'm telling you, there's not too many comparing Tebow with Udonis Haslam. A little bit different personalities there.
Exactly.
But Haslam's ex-teammate, some dude named James, is expected to return this weekend for just what his sore ankle needed, a back-to-back set to end the regular season. Win both and, with some help, L.A. can avoid the play-in and get a week's rest. Otherwise, it's at least one more game to fight for one of the bottom two seeds. Mina, just how crucial is this weekend for LeBron and the Lakers?
So I'm going to parse this out a little bit because I think it's crucial that LeBron plays and, most importantly, that he looks healthy and doesn't re-aggravate his injury like he did the last time he came in. But I actually don't think it's that important that LA avoids the play-in. I know they would benefit from getting the week off, but when you look at the matchups, if they avoid the play-in, they've got the Clippers, who I think are the worst possible matchup for LA, whereas with the play-in, even if they lost to Golden State, I still think they could make their way into the tournament. They would get Utah or Phoenix, who they match up better with. No disrespect to those teams. So for the Lakers, I think it's less about winning and more about LeBron looking okay.
Can I just start there and say poor, poor Utah Jazz? I mean, all year long fighting for this one seed. They head down the stretch. No Donovan Mitchell. He's out for the rest of the regular season. Might not be, probably won't be very sharp. Is only like a 43% shooter. And maybe have to face the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. Look, I'm absolutely with you here. They don't have to look great. If I'm a Lakers fan, I'm looking at one person, and that's Anthony Davis. He needs to not tweak his groin. He needs to not turn an ankle. He needs to stay as fresh as possible for the playoffs. LeBron, we know, even if he's not 100%, will be able to perform. And so, assuming they can get past and either get that 7 or 8 seed, I know the full-strength Lakers, maybe not full-strength without Dennis Schroeder, but close to full-strength Lakers will not be afraid of the Jazz. They certainly wouldn't even be afraid of the Phoenix Suns. So basically, do they have to play well, Mina? I think they just have to play.
Exactly. And man, that if is so key there. It reminds me of how when we look ahead to this NFL season, every time I'm asked to power rank teams, I keep saying, I don't know. It depends on whether Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay. And I feel the same way about LeBron James, AD, and the Lakers. Yes, I bring football into everything, and I'm going to do it again right here, Izzy, because we've got a football topic, finally. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are scheduled to face his old team, the Patriots, in Week 4. And Tom Brady Sr. told Radio 98.5 in Boston, we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily. I started salivating when I saw that. We're coming up here to make our record 4-0. Izzy, how should Tom Brady, the son, feel about his dad boasting that we expect to win handily?
Salivating. I mean, that's extreme right there. Well, first of all, a major disrespect to the Cowboys, the Falcons, the Rams, right? The first three opponents that the Bucs play there. But then to throw in the handily. Now, I don't know if Senior speaks for Junior here, right? You would assume that he tells his father the things that he doesn't tell the media or anybody else in private. But the idea that this is going to be some sort of a surprise that other teams are going to be going at the Bucs, obviously the Patriots, but all these other teams are. Nobody has to do anything to ramp up these teams, the teams that are playing the Bucs, because these are the champs. These are Tom Brady. Nobody's probably more hated than Tom Brady, even though he's wildly respected. They want to beat this Buccaneers team, that's coming back fully loaded and, you know, probably even thinking in the back of their heads about being undefeated, like, you know, Senior might have started with that 4-0. So I just don't think it helps. It doesn't really hurt. I don't think it helps that much that, you know, it's probably Tom Brady Jr.'s true feelings.
You're right. And you know who else is salivating at this matchup? Bill Belichick. Because the Patriots last season were incredibly unlucky. They had all these opt-outs. They didn't have their defense at full strength. And he is going into this year with players like Dante Hightower and Kyle Van Noy coming back, guys that they've signed, pass rushers like Matthew Judon. They drafted a couple of pass rushers as well. And I guarantee you, Izzy, Bill Belichick, who is known for crafting, meticulously crafting defensive game plans, looking at every quarterback, he is going to spend this entire offseason focused, laser focused on that game and thinking about how to beat Tom Brady. Not because he hates Tom Brady, but because he wants to come out on top in this particular matchup.
Yeah, I'm also going to guarantee you something. I mean, I'm going to guarantee that the game means more to Belichick than it does to Brady, because Brady probably going to find himself deep in the playoffs. Belichick, not so much. Ooh. But let's take a break here. Coming up, Packers coach Matt LaFleur bears his heart for Aaron Rodgers.
And what's the word for Jesus Aguilar's bold attempt to steal signs?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
If you're just joining us, Mike and Tony left us the keys to the show, so let's fill in some blanks. What's first?
Packers coach Matt LaFleur sounded blank today when he said the team wants Aaron Rodgers back in the worst way.
He sounded useless, Mina. And this was Packers coach Matt LaFleur during an availability today, basically saying there's nothing new for the Packers situation with Aaron Rodgers. He just wants him badly and wants him in the worst way, which everybody already knew, right? They messed this negotiation up a while time, or this relationship up, rather, a while back. And now it seems like, even though he doesn't have any leverage, that it is sort of in Aaron Rodgers' hands here. And LaFleur, I mean, what could he possibly say? He's going to promise him more playing time? He's not the one responsible for getting him more talent, necessarily. So what can he do? And then one of the other things that he did, because they signed Blake Bortles, a former Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback, he has a relationship there with the offensive coordinator, and talked him up as an AFC championship game quarterback. But I'm sorry, is he going to even be the second string quarterback, or is he going to be the third string quarterback? If he's second string, shouldn't that make Aaron Rodgers even more furious because Jordan Love isn't even making second string in his second year, Mina?
I was going to go with desperate, because every time Matt LaFleur has spoken about this, he has sounded seriously down bad. But I will quibble with you about one thing, Izzy. I don't think it's totally useless. I mean, I think it's useless in the matter of convincing Aaron Rodgers to come back. But I also think in the case of Aaron Rodgers versus Green Bay, Matt LaFleur is making it very clear where he stands in all of this. Like, he is an expert witness testifying on behalf of Aaron Rodgers without explicitly doing so. And in the process of trying to figure out what it's going to take to bring Aaron Rodgers back, LaFleur is telling the world, the organization, the media, the fans, hey, it's up to the team. Like, if Aaron Rodgers wants, you know, members of the front office, Brian Gutekunst out, I'm not going to say how I feel about it, but I'll just say this. I'm siding with Mr. Rodgers.
I mean, that should tell you how bad of a losing position that is for the Packers. How, I mean, the coach isn't even going to side with them. What's next?
Marlins first baseman Jesus Aguilar's attempt to steal signs from Carson Kelly was blank.
Mina, to me, this was unsettling. And I'll tell you why. Nobody should know this about me, but if anybody really knows me, you know I'm a fan of flag football. I still play at 43 years of age. And one of the most important things to me is that see that little finger right there? That wristband has all the plays on it. And look at Carson Kelly's face. He's not playing around. He is angry right there. You do not, Mina, you do not try to steal another man's plays from his wristband. It's very critical, all right, that nobody sees all my plays. I don't even want to put it too close to the camera. It's on my wrist at all times, Mina, just in case I come up with a new idea.
Okay, I'm stunned that you even have that many plays, Izzy, in your flag football league, and kind of impressed. But my word is comical, which maybe says something about me. But Jesus Aguilar, his reaction to the reaction, aka these are just hijinks, I think that's how you get away with it. And by the way, he's gotten away with it before, because merely a month ago, Aguilar did this to another player on the Mets. He basically picked his pocket, if you can see what he did here. And yeah, got away with it again then.
Seems like
so
we
this got is clearly a
bit. On our hands, huh?
I'm not angry at him.
I mean, and that's our bit. No more words. Let's take one last break, but still to come, Mina's ballyhooed Mariners rookies get off to a rough debuts.
But who cares? Because my Brooklyn Nets will finally put all three stars on the floor tomorrow at the same time.
Oh, your lovable underdogs, the Brooklyn Nets.
Somebody's got to rise.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
I've wanted to say this forever. It's happy time, people.
Woo!
Happy 38th birthday, Frank Gore, the former University of Miami running back who twice tore his ACL in college and played last season with the Jets, now holds the record for games played by a running back at 241. Quite the career at that position. Whether or not he plays again is to be determined, as the free agent has yet to rule out that possibility, but he's already the picture of NFL longevity. Gore is third all-time in rushing yards, needing 726 to catch Walter Payton for second, a number Gore hasn't reached in a single season since 2017. He's also fourth all-time in yards from scrimmage. While he has played for four teams over the past four seasons, Gore spent the first 10 with the San Francisco 49ers, and it's the team he'll eventually retire with, according to him and 49ers owner Jed York. What do you think, Mina? Another season for Gore?
I don't think so, and it hurts me to say because I love Frank Gore. I love his story. I love what he represents. I think he's going to the Hall of Fame, but the reality, you might say the inconvenient truth, is last year he averaged 3.5 yards per attempt. Can't see him playing again in the NFL.
I won't believe that until I actually see it. It feels like he's been in the NFL my entire life. Happy anniversary to Steve Kerr. On this day 7 years ago, Kerr decided to take the Warriors job left empty by Mark Jackson, choosing Golden State over the also vacant New York Knicks job. Since then, the Warriors have won 3 titles and 5 finals appearances, while the Knicks will be seeing their first postseason action since 2013 in just over a week. But do we remember who was the Warriors' top target in that search? That was one of my favorites, Stan Van Gundy, who reportedly got hung up on wanting personnel control and instead took a job with the Pistons, and they did make him president of basketball ops as well as head coach. Van Gundy was fired from Detroit and is now with the Pelicans, who've been eliminated from postseason contention in his first year. Can you imagine, Mina, how different the world would be right now if Stan had taken that Warriors job?
I can. It's a fascinating question. It's like this alternate reality multiverse thing. And to me, it's less of a question about Stan Van Gundy and what he would have brought to the Warriors, and more about what does Steve Kerr bring to the Warriors, right? Which is a question we always ask. Was it a turnkey situation? I think the reality is probably somewhere in the middle, where they would have still been very successful, but perhaps a little less successful without Kerr.
So many names in there. It'll just keep you thinking, take it, go through a rabbit hole if you think about it for too long there. Happy trails, Simone Augustus. The WNBA legend is retiring after 15 seasons, 8 All-Star games, 4 championships with the Minnesota Lynx, and 3 gold medals with USA Basketball. Augustus, who's 10th all-time in WNBA scoring with 6,005 points, is moving to the bench as an assistant coach for the Los Angeles Sparks, who she played for last season. Overall, the WNBA's 25th season begins tonight in what should be a rewarding campaign. The league and its players seem to have found their voice, and it's a confident and unapologetic one. With Finals MVP Breanna Stewart announcing this week that she's designing her own signature shoe with Puma, the first signature shoe for a WNBA player in 10 years, it's just another signal that this league and these women are beginning to get the recognition they deserve.
Izzy, I couldn't agree more. It feels like there's a lot of energy around the W right now, and it stems to last season in the wobble. And along those lines, everyone watching should check out 144, new film produced by our colleague Shanae Ogumike about that season. It's on ESPN+. I'm a company woman, but it's really terrific, and it shows you what is so special about this league.
Yeah, I'm excited about the WNBA season. It's not just what happened in the wobble last year and some more eyes on it. If you just look at the NCAA tournaments this year, the men's and women's,
yes.
A lot of people said the women's game was a lot more entertaining, right? So you get some of those players that are recognizable now into the WNBA, and you just have that momentum going. And, man, I don't think you can say enough just about sort of the voices in that league, the change, the things that they've said and done and changes that they've made. It's been huge, great for that league. No major errors, though, but we're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. The Mariners' hyped rookies struggled in their debuts last night. Disappointed?
No, I'm incapable of disappointment. I'm a Mariners fan. Last time they made the playoffs, I didn't have my driver's license. That's a humble brag. The Colorado Avalanche sewed up the overall number one seed for the NHL playoffs. Izzy, are they your favorite?
I mean, I don't know who's the favorite. Everybody's just been playing the same teams over and over again in the NHL. Who knows? KD, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving will all play together against the Bulls tomorrow. Excited?
Not about this game. Excited to see the big three. We need some continuity from them. Wade Miley goes for his second no-hitter in a row tonight against the Rockies. Izzy, do you like his chances?
Of course not. Last one, the Preakness tomorrow. Will you be rooting for Medina Spirit?
I will. It wasn't his fault.
We are out of time. Thanks for watching. It was not his fault. It's been reported. I'm Israel Gutierrez.
And I'm Mina Kimes. You can check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny or the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now here's SportsCenter.